with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Floodline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. Our show, The Floodline, is always about motivation, it's about inspiration and education, and it's always done without manipulation. That means this is not an infomercial. We have nothing for you to buy, nothing for you to purchase. We are not trying to get you to join anything. We don't have any hidden agendas here. The show is simply a show about the truth found in the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, it's a Christian talk show, but not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's me talking to you. Straight up, straight, plain talk. No games, no gimmicks, no preaching, no ranting, no raving. Just some information that I think will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you are objective and can do that, then you can orient and adjust to that plan. It's up to you. I'm not here to change you. I'm here to give you accurate information. It's God the Holy Spirit's job to do the changing. It's not my job to coerce you or manipulate you into making some kind of decision. It's just my job to get it right, get it straight. And I intend to do that. If you'll stick with me, if you'll listen, I promise you, you'll hear some information today that'll be very, very challenging to you. Last week we talked about bitterness as a root mental attitude sin. And we're talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you're a believer or not, but first of all, let's nail this down. If you want to go to heaven, there's only one way to go to heaven. In the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Now there's only one reason that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's because on the cross, he was our personal substitute. He paid for our sin. And the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Since he was indeed our substitute, since he indeed satisfied the justice and the righteousness of God with his substitutionary death on the cross for us, he was buried. But on the third day he arose, he walked out of the grave alive, and he was seen by many people, and he is alive today. There are many theories that Jesus didn't really die on the cross as one of them. Another one is that someone actually stole the body, that he didn't actually resurrect. Whatever theory you take, it requires that you have faith to believe it. And so you can use your faith to say, no, I do not believe Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. I believe something else happened. Well, that's a faith decision you made. Or you can believe what the Bible says. That's a faith decision too. But the Bible says this about faith. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, because it's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So I guess if you're saved by faith, maybe we could say you're also lost by faith, because you by faith don't believe what the Bible says. You believe in something else, and you have faith in what that viewpoint is accurate, but the Bible's not. So you're using your faith to go negative to what the Bible says, or you're using your faith to go positive what the Bible says, but whichever way, you're a victim of your faith, aren't you? My suggestion is you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he was in fact who God said he was, the anointed Son, that he did live, die, and resurrect, and he is alive today. And the most wonderful thing about it is that he will come and live inside of you, and he will empower you, and you will come to say, as Paul the Apostle said, it is no longer I, but it is Christ in me. That's a marvelous way to live. And you can begin to demonstrate the joy, the abundance of life that Christ demonstrated, and you will begin to represent Jesus Christ to all of those around you. Not by being some religious weirdo or religious fanatic, because religion is not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Religion is man's effort to approbate God by his own good works, his own good deeds, his own ritualistic services that he observes. But those may be some things that Christians do, but that's not how you become a Christian. You become a Christian when you do what the Bible says. And that is, quote, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, he hears us. The Bible is very clear about that in 1 John chapter 5. where it says, "These things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life." So once you've made a decision to believe in Christ, once you've entered into the royal family of God, you're not going to lose it. He's not going to take it away from you, because Christ said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither one, any one take them out of my Father's hand." But here's what's going to happen. He never promised us a rose garden. Someone sang that song one time. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we enter into a warfare. You see, the Bible puts it this way. It says the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Well, let me explain what we do here. When we make a decision to believe in Christ, we're born again, spiritually speaking. We are now made spiritually alive. And as we are made spiritually alive, that occurs when God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of your dead human spirit. And it's born again, because the Bible says if we're going to have fellowship with God, we have to have it through spirit and in truth. And so now you have a spiritual life. You're born again. And now you have an old man within you who's always been there. He was there when you were born. You got him from Adam. And now you have this new man. That's why the Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new racial species. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You're a new man now. And now you have a new battle you never had before. Now you have that old sin nature that was always there trying to control you. And now you have the Holy Spirit who's come to live inside of you, and of which God said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of that old sin nature." The Bible even mandates that we're to be filled with the Spirit. And this means that we turn over control of our life to the Holy Spirit, and we let Him direct our life. And this is done by using problem-solving device number one, the rebound technique, and we've talked about it on this show. So when we sin, we quench and grieve the Spirit, and when we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and restore us to fellowship. One of the enemies that we face, one of the battles that we go through, we are constantly attacked in our mind. This is why the Bible says we're to put on the helmet of salvation under the military metaphor of Ephesians chapter 6. Satan and the world and even you yourself, the battle rages in your mind 24 hours a day. This is where the real you exists. It's not the outward body. It's not what people see. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the real you is the sum total of your thoughts. Therefore, you're not what you think you are, but you are, in fact, what you think. Now, if we talk about a mental attitude, the mental attitude is what's going on in your brain right now. The mental attitude is the sum total of your human thoughts. It's the function of human thoughts. In other words, when I'm talking about a mental attitude, it's what you're thinking at any given time. Right now, your mental attitude. So consequently, the mental attitude is the battlefield of your soul. This is where all the battles take place, not in the body, in the mind, in the soul, in the thinking of the soul. And your body may get sick. There's no doubt about that. And maybe you caused it, maybe you didn't cause it. But in the mind is where we deal with what's going on in our body. We don't have to get depressed. We don't have to get bitter. We don't have to get angry, even though we might not have caused it. But we can live a better life than being full of resentment and antagonism over whoever might have caused it. I'm thinking about specifically like being in a wreck and someone injures you, and then all of your life you're bitter about that. You see, you don't have to live that way. So the life of every person, especially anyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ, our life is in our mental attitude. It's what we think. And we can think human viewpoint or divine viewpoint. But the life of each one of us is determined by two simple principles in our life. And these principles determine what we think and what we decide. Because every decision starts with a thought. A thought causes a decision. A decision causes an action. And we are the sum product of our thoughts, our decisions, and our actions. That's what we are. And so when we're talking about divine viewpoint, when we're talking about thinking in terms of divine viewpoint in our mental attitude, It's part of the greatest delegation of divine power in human history. You see, this is when God infuses his power into you. And that power is infused through the Bible. This is where divine viewpoint comes from, through the Bible, through the Word of God. And if somebody comes up and tells you God said this or God said that, and it's not in the Bible, chunk it. It's not true. And people do that all the time, I assure you. So the number one thing in your life, the number one most important thing in your life right now, more than anything else, is what you're thinking. What you think determines who you are and what you do. What you think is more important than anything else. But so many people struggle through life without thinking. They just let their emotions control their life. And the end result of that is the power of divine viewpoint is never tapped into. They never come to understand the strength that they can attain from living under divine viewpoint. And they become losers in their life. Mindless losers. Not thinking. Just emoting. And letting their emotions take them on a terrible roller coaster ride up and down the street. And one day you're moody, one day you're not, depending on circumstances. That is not the way God intended for you to live as a believer in Jesus Christ. So your life comes to be what you think. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to live by what you think, not by what you feel. Don't operate by what you feel. I don't feel very good today, so I'm not going to think very good thoughts today. You see, I think most people today want some sort of overt lifestyle, overt impact, and they really don't understand the plan of God. See, Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of God's power to us who have believed? For the delegation of his superpower, which he put into us by means of Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places." The greatness of God's power in you is your mental attitude when it functions under divine viewpoint as you're filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry to say that the average Christian that I meet doesn't even know anything about God's superior power or how God delegated it to us through thinking. See, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we're to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And so instead of thinking rationally, instead of learning divine viewpoint, instead of fulfilling the protocol plan of God, we have a lot of mindless, emotional Christians that float around from church to church involved in emotional activity rather than biblical thinking. And there's very little Bible thought being thought today. Now, here's the bad part about it. No one can do your thinking for you. You got to learn to think for yourself. And this is what poise is all about. You cannot have poise if you can't think. You win or lose by what you think. And your thoughts determine who you really are. And when God wants to check you out, he checks out your thinking. 1 Samuel 16 shows you that. Because the prophet Samuel almost anointed the wrong person to be the future king of Israel. Instead of David, he almost anointed Eliab, Jesse's oldest son. But God looked into his heart and said, he's not qualified because I see what he's thinking. And even today, as you're listening to me, God has the ability to look into your thought life. God has the ability to know the things that you fear the most. God has the ability to know the things that you struggle with the most. And the pitiful thing is there are answers, but yet you haven't taken the time to learn them. Because you can only think in terms of what you know. How can you think in terms of what you don't know? And how can you be successful if you're depending on someone else to think for you? You can only think in terms of what you know. And so any divine power in your life depends on you learning something after you get saved. If you're going to utilize divine power, you've got to learn what it is and learn how it functions. You have to learn what is the filling of the Spirit. You have to learn what is the faith rest drill. You have to learn what grace orientation is. You have to learn what a personal sense of destiny is. These are all wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Bible, but most people don't want to learn anything. It's too complicated. Or if they learn, they sure don't want to learn too fast. And that's what the writer of Hebrews 5 is complaining about when he says in verse 11, you've been saved a long time now and you ought to be teaching other people, but you're not. You've gone back to where someone has to teach you again the very first basic elementary doctrines of the Christian life. This is what happens when believers get saved and never grow up spiritually. They never receive the delegation of any superior power in their life from the Word of God. They never learn to think doctrine in their soul. And they never get this powerful system of thinking called the mind of Christ. So, what you really are as a person is what you think. Not what you appear to be on the surface to your friends or to your spouse. Not the way you're dressed or groomed, and you can really do it up on Sunday sometime. The real you is what goes on inside the invisible you. What's inside your soul. You are not always what you appear to be on the surface. Isn't it amazing? I mean, it is always just to me how some people can hide their thoughts and some people cannot. You know, some people can play poker really good and some people get a pair of aces and their eyes light up and the hair on the back of their neck stands up and they bet the pot. I mean, they're a dead giveaway, using a poker analogy. But some people can hide their thoughts. And you could never know in a million years what they're really thinking. Some people can hide their thoughts so well that they become adept at the practice of hypocrisy. The only problem is, you can't hide your thoughts from God. So the real you, Proverbs 23:7, is the thought content of your soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. Nephesh. And it's the place where you think or don't think. What you really are is what you think. You see, it's not your personality that God's impressed with. You don't have to have a great, pleasing personality to be a spiritually mature Christian. You don't have to be a people person. You know what I mean? Like, you ever been around those people? They're just, oh, hi, it's so great to see you today. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they just act like they're always on a high. They have this overwhelming personality that embraces you and captures you, and you think they're your best friend. You don't have to have that to be a mature man or woman in the plan of God. You see, that's a personality. And the Word of God doesn't change your personality. It just changes how you think. See, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, as I told you earlier, the Bible says, who has known the thinking of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, what is that? Well, that's all the divine viewpoint taught in the Bible from A to Z. And the delegation of this power to you and to me. It is the Word of God that we've learned and the Word of God that we apply into our life. You cannot have the power of God in a one-shot instant decision. You can go forward till you're blue in the face. It won't work. You can raise your hand till you're blue in the face. It won't work. But until you learn it and apply it, you cannot have it. You can't think it because you don't even know it. Why do you think the Bible tells you to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? Why do you think the Bible tells you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Why do you think Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me? All of these are words for learning and thinking divine viewpoint. So if you want to have any of the power of God in your life, it is not going to come because you went to the altar and prayed for the power of God to fall on you. That's emotions, and it does not work. The power of God is the content of thought. It's the thought of the Word of God that circulates in your soul 24/7. And the only way you're going to get this thought from God is to sit under a qualified pastor who's going to make the Bible come alive to you. Why do you think God gave men with this gift? He gave men with this gift so they can study and teach His Word. It's a spiritual gift. And it is their gift to study it, dig it out, and teach it, and make you rich. Make you rich in the Word of God so that you can invest it and glorify God with your wealth, your spiritual wealth. And so as you sit under a qualified pastor in a local church, and if he's worth a dime, he will study and teach the Word of God unashamedly, priority number one in his ministry, and you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you have the opportunity to apply divine viewpoint thinking to every circumstances, all circumstances in your life. So, you have to concentrate when it's being taught. A lot of people go to church and they don't concentrate. They daydream. They drift. They can't lock in because they don't have the right priorities in their life. They're thinking about, what am I going to play golf after church? I'm going fishing after church. Or maybe if it's mom, she's thinking about the pot roast that's in the oven at home, and we got to get out of there and get home so it doesn't burn the pot roast up. See, we're not having the right priorities. You see, each one of us, we have our very own spiritual life. And we have to be motivated from our own spiritual life. I can't make you be the person I want you to be, and you can't make me be the person I need to be. I have to have my own motivation. And there's only one thing that motivates any of us, and that is personal love for God. Remember 1 John 5:3, if you love me, you will obey me, and my mandates are not hard. But even then, it's hard to love a God you don't know. And so if we're going to live a spiritual life, if we're going to be the men or the women that God intended for us to be, we have to learn to think divine viewpoint. So when you have church and when you worship, you know, it's really a test on your concentration. Can you concentrate for that hour that you're there? Can you concentrate under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit as the pastor speaks? Can you concentrate during communion and not daydream and let your thoughts drift? You see, when you can concentrate while the Word of God is being taught, then that demonstrates that you value it more than anything else in your life. That demonstrates that you've got the right motivation. You want to grow in grace. That demonstrates that you have the right mental attitude. You want to acquire the mind of Christ. And that demonstrates that your spiritual status quo in life is not a loser. You're a winner. You're going to be an MVP, a person that has momentum, virtue, and poise in your life. So the delegated power that comes from God comes from thinking Bible doctrine. It's the mental attitude, divine viewpoint of life. In John 4:24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in the Spirit, or the filling of the Spirit, and in truth. And truth there means it's the Word of God you've learned and applied into your life. So, if you have a thought or you don't have a thought, it can make you or break you at any given moment. It just depends on what you're thinking. Again, you have two things to think. If you learn the Word of God and apply it, you can think divine viewpoint, or you can think human viewpoint. You can ask your friends what you ought to do about it. You can ask somebody. But until you go to the Bible, until you see what the Word of God says about it, then you're never going to be sure that you're thinking divine viewpoint. One of the problems we have is we're so arrogant, we want instant answers. We want instant answers and instant answers now. We live in the age of 24-hour-a-day news. We all know now, now, now. I got news for you. Sometimes you don't learn it instantly. Sometimes as you grow, it takes years. And you learn the Word of God, you apply the Word of God, you learn, you apply, you add, you learn, you apply. Sometimes it takes years to become a mature spiritual Christian. And it takes years studying the Word of God, not being distracted, before you become the person that God intends for you to be. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to be filled with the Spirit instantly, yes. But to be a mature believer, not going to happen in a week. Not going to happen in 2 weeks. But it can start happening today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Let the one who thinks that he stands take heed before he falls." In Galatians 6:3, "For if anyone thinks he's something, then he's really nothing. He's deceiving himself." You see, let me say that again. If anyone thinks he's something, when he's really nothing, he's deceiving himself. Do you think you're something? What is your something based on? Maybe it was the fact that you're successful in business. Maybe it was the fact that you've raised some great kids. Maybe it's the fact that you were an outstanding athlete in your field. You got the plaques on the wall to prove it. Well, you may think you're something, but you're deceiving yourself if that's what you're thinking. You see, your thought life is either the application of the Word of God to your experience, or it's the application of your own arrogance and your ignorance to your experience. One of the two. I mean, arrogantly, ignorantly, you can apply thought and come to a conclusion and go a direction that can be totally destructive. Or with humility and grace, you can learn the Word of God and come to a conclusion that's totally productive. God never intended to harm you. God never intended to put you in some sort of adverse situation. God intends to bless you, and His plan is prosper you, and not just financially, to prosper you in many areas. There are many blessings that God would like to give to you. He can't give it to you because you don't have the capacity to handle it right now. But the difference between living in the devil's world, the cosmic system, and the difference between advancing to maturity in God's plan, it really depends on what you think. It really depends on what you think. So either you're going to think divine viewpoint from the Word of God in your soul, or you're going to think human viewpoint from the system of thought that floats around the cosmic system. The cosmic system, what is that? The cosmos diabolicus, the devil's world, the policy of good and evil. You know, you're a good Christian because you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't say dirty words. You're a good person because you're faithful to your wife and you don't cheat on your taxes. Well, listen, you can do all of those good things and go to hell, because the Bible doesn't say we go to heaven by being good. We go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ. But human viewpoint will tell you that God is pleased with you, and God will let you in someday because you've treated people nice and right. And that's the human viewpoint thinking that has rejected what the Bible says about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the thinking of the unbeliever, or it could be the thinking of the carnal believer, who thinks that God is well pleased with his life because he tithes, because he sings in the choir, or something like that. You see, the Bible emphasizes the fact that God makes war against arrogant believers, and those are believers that function outside of his plan. But he gives grace to the humble believers, and those are the believers that function inside of his plan. It's really up to you. Your life, your decision, your choice, but you only got one shot at it. And I hope I've challenged you today to decide priority number one. How can I learn the Word of God? How can I grow up? Where can I find somebody that will feed me and teach me the Word of God in a consistent manner so I can glorify God by representing Jesus Christ to my friends? Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.